In a world where women are told they're sexually liberated, reality tells a different story. A teacher loses her job when a student steals her private nude selfie. A woman is murdered for politely declining a man's advances. Despite decades of supposed progress, most women still experience that familiar flinch of fear when male attention turns sexual. This gap between our cultural narrative of female empowerment and women's lived experiences reveals what Jacqueline Friedman calls faux-powerment, the dangerous illusion of sexual freedom that masks continued oppression. Consider Shauna Lane, who tried a private nude photo shoot to boost her body confidence. When an ex posted these images on revenge porn sites with her personal information, she paid $400 to have them removed, but they continued circulating, leaving her terrified to leave her apartment. Society's response? Blame women. Don't take nude photos. Don't dress provocatively. This approach accepts misogyny as inevitable while dividing women into smart and foolish camps, reinforcing the virgin-whore dichotomy that has controlled women for centuries. The sexual revolution promised freedom, but delivered a world where women's sexuality remains a volatile but precious resource that needs proper management. Even with contraception access, women found the revolution's promises unfulfilled. As journalist Virginia Ironside recalled, with pregnancy fears removed, men continued satisfying their own needs without considering whether women found it pleasurable. Women lacked both cultural power and personal knowledge to demand satisfying sex. Hugh Hefner strategically aligned Playboy with women's liberation by funding abortion rights campaigns, filing briefs for Roe v. Wade, and hosting ERA fundraisers. This allowed him to co-opt women's bodily liberation while selling it back to men, perfecting faux empowerment through an illusion of sexual revolution that centered women visually while maintaining male control. This commodification spread through mainstream culture, with shows like Charlie's Angels featuring women who were both capable and sexually available for male consumption, creating modern women who didn't threaten the status quo. As Reagan's rise empowered evangelical Christians politically, feminism fractured. Some white feminist leaders sought common ground with the new majority, with Gnarls shifting to libertarian arguments for abortion rights rather than advocating for state-insured access, effectively abandoning poor women, mostly of color. In response, black feminist activists like Loretta Ross developed reproductive justice, framing reproductive freedom as a human right requiring economic means to raise children, safety from violence, freedom from coerced sterilization, and full healthcare access. This framework connected multiple issues. It allows you to talk about the prison industrial complex, gentrification, sterilization, immigration, all in one conversation, which you couldn't do under the pro-choice framework. Despite our modern era, we still lack fundamental scientific understanding of female sexuality. The internal clitoral structure wasn't discovered until Helen O'Connell's MRI studies in the late 90s, long after male anatomy was thoroughly documented. The clitoris, the only body part designed solely for pleasure, extends far beyond the visible portion, with arm-like structures deep in the pelvis. Historical perspectives contradict current assumptions. While today's common wisdom suggests men are naturally more sexual, throughout most of Western history until the 19th century, women were considered the ones with uncontrollable sex drives. Modern beliefs about women preferring faces over genitals, sensuality over crass fucking, or sex only in loving relationships lack research support. Researcher Meredith Chivers found that men's physical arousal typically matches their self-reported arousal and orientation. Women, however, respond physically to almost all sexual stimuli regardless of orientation, while reporting arousal to a much narrower range, creating a concordance gap widest in heterosexual women. Chivers attributes this research gap to male-centered priorities. Women suffer from society's ignorance about female sexuality. As Chivers notes, vagina is just a space surrounded by organs, essentially defined by where the penis goes, revealing how female anatomy is conceptualized through a male lens. Female celebrities face contradictory expectations to be both sexually empowered and modest. Beyoncé's pantless performance before feminist letters sparked debates between those seeing liberation and those seeing male voyeurism. These arguments miss the point. No single image can satisfy all representation needs. The real issue is who controls media creation. Men dominate leadership across media industries, portraying female bodies primarily as ornamental, sexual rewards, or obstacles. We need diversity in media ownership, not censorship. Our current landscape resembles a grocery store selling only junk food. Our sexuality is inseparable from economic forces. When the free market controls sexual culture, profit-driven corporations dictate discourse. Facebook bans ads suggesting sex can be pleasurable while allowing dangerous diet pills and weapons. Market feminism frames purchasing sexy products as activism, but buyable empowerment remains individualistic, a temporary escape from systemic problems not everyone can afford. Women pursue this faux empowerment while facing economic disadvantage, earning just 83 cents for every dollar men make, with women of color earning even less. Financial constraints force countless women into unwanted sexual situations, whether through sex work or remaining with partners they can't afford to leave. Despite constitutional church-state separation, right-wing Christianity significantly shapes American sexual politics, partnering with Republicans to oppose sexual freedom while contradicting Jesus' teachings. Federal welfare dollars flow to heterosexual marriage promotion through TANF grants, despite no evidence these programs reduce poverty. Our culture's obsession with protecting women often increases vulnerability. The rescue narrative portrays women as incapable decision makers, while sexualization creates a harmful, innocent, corrupted binary for girls. This framework punishes victims like Brianna, who was shunned after a boy shared her coerced photo, while the boys distributing images faced minimal consequences. Modern masculinity exists in opposition to femininity, requiring constant defense against acknowledging women's complexity. Masculinity isn't inherent, but a shifting set of cultural standards many men feel inadequate meeting. This insecurity drives violence. Men with something to prove about their manhood perpetrate most violence worldwide. Sex education in America exists in a troubling paradox. We meticulously prepare students for rare emergencies like fires, yet provide minimal preparation for sexual situations they'll inevitably face. Only 24 states mandate any sex education, while 26 leave it to individual districts with minimal oversight. The Netherlands offers a stark contrast, with comprehensive sex education beginning in kindergarten. Dutch teens have first sexual encounters at similar ages to Americans, but report more positive experiences and higher contraceptive use, resulting in lower STI and teen pregnancy rates. Real progress requires persistent action rather than grand visions. California's Yes Means Yes law, which seemed impossible when proposed but passed in 2014, demonstrates that changemakers aren't magical visionaries. They simply refuse to accept the status quo. The path to genuine sexual liberation requires articulating an irresistibly bold vision of pleasure and freedom that's truly for everyone. It means valuing genuine pleasure, consent, health, connection, and sovereignty over commodification and sexiness. As Rabbi Tarfon said, "It is not yours to complete the work, neither is it yours to desist from it." By addressing the root causes of sexual oppression, we can create a world where everyone's sexuality is respected and celebrated. The revolution remains unfinished, but together we can complete it.